Views and opinions expressed by the guests of Sasquatch Experience do not necessarily reflect the opinion of the hosts, sponsors, or affiliates of the Sasquatch Experience. As always, listener discretion is advised.
911, what are you reporting?
We got someone or something crawling around out here.
Does a legend walk among us, lurking in the forests of our world?
Was it a person or an animal or?
I can't tell. All I know is that my sensor light came on and I just happened to glimpse and see this thing running across the yard. A good sized man or something. It looks like a man. I don't know what it was.
For over 15 years, we've talked with scientists, researchers, investigators, and witnesses trying to gain insight and proof around the existence of this mysterious entity.
Jesus Christ, you better... Karen, see ya!
Hello?
Get somebody out here.
What's going on now, sir?
That son of a bitch is about 6'9", I don't know.
Do you see him now, sir?
Yes, I'm looking right at him.
Okay, hang on.
He's right...
Is he in your yard, sir?
Yeah, God, he's big.
Okay, what's he doing in your yard?
He's looking at me.
Join us as we continue into the investigation of the Sasquatch Experience.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Sasquatch Experience, Monday, September 26, 2022. Tonight on Bigfoot 911. It's going to be a hell of a good show tonight, guys. Channeling my little inner William Shatner there.
Yeah, very well done.
We got an interesting show for everyone tonight. I'm Sean the Fort Chop Forker. Over to my side there is Vance, Vanny Boo Boo, Vanny Poppins Nesbitt. Below me, James Baker. And in the corner there at the bottom, smiling like the Cheshire Cat, Henry May from the great state of Mississippi. Guys, good evening. Great to be here with you tonight.
No, it's good to be with everybody tonight, actually.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've fresh off the Mothman Conference there in Point Pleasant, West Virginia. What a great time Bake and I had there, hanging out with the Fargiorgios and all our friends. Vance, missed you. Of course, I know you were very disappointed you couldn't make it. But I spent some time with Les Odell talking about some Bigfoot sightings that were happening that he was investigating in West Virginia. And we're going to get Les on the show and talk about West Virginia Bigfoot here in the coming weeks. We'll try to get him. We'll get Dr. Rush Jones, author of the Appalachian Bigfoot, who also has his own podcast now. And we're just going to get kicked off back into some interviewing that we used to do. People like it. We'll get back and bring some folks on here to talk about these things, not just us talking about topics, which we also love to do, coincidentally. But Vance, go ahead. I'm going to kick this over to you here because, well, you've got a lot to talk about.
Oh, you know, I can't believe that summer is over already. I mean, how quick did this go by? My spring flowers came up, they're dead, and now we're into the fall season. But like I had mentioned in a previous news segment, I'm really kind of looking forward to a lot more reports that may come, you know, at least to the top or come up to the top from experiences from over the summer camping season. So I'm really looking forward to that. But I also want to extend a big hello to all our watchers and our listeners. And our stalkers and our squatchers. So big hello to everybody. Thank you for being here for, you know, all of us. And I want to extend thoughts to those in Florida and in Georgia that may be a little bit hassled by Hurricane Ian that is coming your way. So please be safe. Put your safety as a priority. Material items don't matter, but put your safety as a priority. And that's my thought.
Well, very, very good there. Yeah, we want to send our thoughts out to our friends down south who this time of year, it's a dreaded time of year you know, weather.
It's the hurricane
natural
season,
disasters.
Right.
It is. And that goes until November. Folks don't realize, you know, I think sometimes we're just in ramp up season. So,
I was kind of curious with Henry, has there been any local stories coming out of Mississippi by you, Henry, or even in the area in which you're living in, of anything unusual or kind of squatchy that has come out of your area within recent days?
No, haven't heard anything.
Well, that's short, bad. Simple. We gotta wait a couple weeks, maybe, until somebody gets it together and says, "You know, I need to report this." Hopefully, that's the case. We'll see. How about you, Bake? Got anything new and interesting that has happened over the last few weeks?
Well, Mothman was amazing. 35,000 people in a town that usually has 4 to 5. Really good festival, really, really informative. I know it wasn't Bigfoot related, but the we did get to watch some of the small town monster movies. Watched the second one about the Mothman and the one about the Jersey Devil, which was very informative. Mm-hmm. Gave me a lot of the background. I do like a lot of those. Spent a little time this week because I had kind of a visual issue, because God's little joke is that I like to garden, but the second I touch dirt, I get this all over rash. So I had a little trouble, you know, focusing on my job. So I had a couple of days off. I was watching Alone. I really like that show. If you guys get a chance on Netflix for that, it teaches really good show. A lot. It teaches you a lot about simplicity of, you know, and it also shows you a lot of, like, they were showing like trapping behaviors and how animals move and stuff. And I think, you know, and Sean's noticed this is as we've worked my land and we've worked out in the yard more, you start to understand how animals move because you see it, you know, and then they get used to you and then you see them more. So we talk about cohabitation and some of the other things. Shows like this kind of give you an idea of how that is plausible. Yeah, it's just been a good 2 weeks.
Yeah. Good. Alone's a really good program if you folks haven't checked it out. I know it's probably been out for a while, but I just caught on to it.
It's only like 9 seasons.
Yeah, it's really good, though. I enjoyed it. Like Bake said, it teaches you a lot. And, you know, through other people's mistakes, you can learn not to make them yourselves if you're ever in a situation that requires
you. No, that's helpful. To do that. That is definitely
absolutely
helpful.
So, wow. Alone, check it out, folks. Alone. Now on Netflix. So.
Very cool.
Other than that, Dahmer, which we're not going to get into because there's 10 episodes of uncomfortability.
Just that's super, you know, normal stuff.
But let's touch on that just a second, because it could be applicable. Somebody made like a mini series on Bigfoot sightings, horrific Bigfoot sightings. Like, you know the story. You know the stories, but what happens when somebody with a creative mind fleshes them out, no pun intended, and brings them to, you know, to life? And on the screen, you really get that, the realization. Like, yeah, that's the word, the completion. Like, my God, it's sickening. And it's really uncomforting to think that somebody was out there predating on their fellow a man and, you know, turning him into dinner. So it's,
and how easily he was getting away with it, how many times the police were there, how the neighbors complained yet no one cared. It's kind of like when I was bringing up that Small Towns Monsters movie about the Mothman. The second movie actually goes into the sightings a lot more, and, you know, a lot of that movie actually gives you a completer story than just you know, the facts. And it goes into why those facts were important and maybe things that led up to it.
Well, you know, and when we were out there, because I had some time with Jamie King, you know, Jamie was on the show and he and I went out and had some conversation time and talked to one of the locals who was just leaving the bar. And, you know, the general attitude that even at 50 years later, you know, people still are of the belief that this was just a creature that was made up by a bunch of kids out there doing drugs. Tripping acid is what the guy said. So, you know, to each their own, I guess. But when you have a visual representation, I guess now it does complete the story, whether you're talking about something sinister as Jeffrey Dahmer or something as, you know, interesting as the Mothman of Point Pleasant. You know, visual medium really changes the dynamic and puts you in a different situation. I was a lot uncomfortable watching Dahmer. You know, folks, you might like it. I didn't say it was bad. It's just uncomfortable and unsettling. So you can check that out at your own volition too. But Vance, I know we have a show. We have a show. We went off on a tangent, but I'll let you steer us back in the right direction.
Oh, we don't steer anything, but you know, just stay on vein real quick. My best girl was at Mothman and spoke with DeWitt, and you know she gave her entire story much more than any documentary has covered so far. Minor nuances that add to so much more in the story itself. But you know, again, I find that really fascinating. But yeah, we're going to do a new segment on the Sasquatch Experience called, I don't know if you can see that. What's Henry doing? What is Henry reading? Henry, what are you reading these days? Even though Sean brought up the Appalachian Bigfoot. Are you reading anything new, or are you rereading any classics?
Well, I just recently finished The Bigfoot Influencers by Tim Halloran, and I highly recommend that book, by the way. It's really great. Mm-hmm. Also,
are you in that book, Henry?
What's that? No, I'm not in that book. No.
So right there, ball dropped. I've already taken it down to a 5 out of 10.
Is that because like how the hell with boots with the fur and just
how the hell can you have a Bigfoot Influencers book and not have Henry May in it?
Well, it's the first in the series, so there's still time.
Oh, so you could be in this
one. But you weren't in number one, and that's a disappointment. It's a letdown.
Mm-hmm. Also, the Bigfoot Influencers podcast is really good. So far, they've had two of the influencers on the podcast, Daniel Perez and Kathy Strain. So,
well, I'm boycotting it until they have you on.
Likewise.
I'm sorry. Not listening until Henry May is a guest on the Bigfoot Influencers podcast. See, I just took the steam out of Henry's story. Henry, tell us about the book. What was your favorite part of the book? And you have to have one critique about it. Not my critique that you're not in it, but you gave it a perfect score.
I did. The section with Les Stroud is really good.
What makes it good?
Well, the fact that he's not a Bigfoot researcher, and he'll be the first to tell you, I'm not a Bigfoot researcher.
Mm-hmm.
What is he?
He's a documentarian / outdoorsman.
Right.
So how did Les get roped into Bigfoot?
Well, he had a few experiences that he couldn't explain. He heard vocalizations that he couldn't explain. So that's kind of how
he got vocalizations.
Huh?
Where were the vocalizations, Henry?
Alaska.
Alaska, ha! Huh. You know, right now there's an expedition going on in Alaska right now. Our friend Larry Beans Baxter is out there in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, by the way, Larry wrote a new book too. I don't know if you read it yet, Henry. Squatch Cop.
I have not read that one.
I got a copy.
You said cop.
I got
right?
a bacon. Squatch Cop. Squatch Cop.
I got Squatch Cock.
You're wearing your coxist shirt tonight. So there you go. You know what Baker's got on the brain. Anyhow, Henry. So what if we got Les Stroud in there? You think that was your favorite part of the book? Where did the book have opportunity besides you not being in it?
Well, I like I said, I wasn't interviewed for it, so.
So that's but the, like there's I say, the
it's the first of a series. It's the first yeah. of a series, so.
So,
like well, I said, let's just say, featured in one of them. Go ahead, Baker.
So, can I ask the premises influencers? So, do they give an idea of what that means to them? What an influencer is? Like, I know what an influencer in social media means, but what is an influencer in the Bigfoot community? To me, that would be like Meldrum. Is that what they're saying, or is that people that are doing yeah. like social media?
No, just basically people who are involved in Sasquatch research, mm-hmm. scientists, investigators, researchers.
Hmm. Sounds interesting.
It Go is.
Check it out, Baker.
Is this part one of the series? Score. Do they have an idea when the rest of the series is coming out so we can keep an eye for it? Okay.
I imagine that Tim is writing the follow-up.
I did notice, Henry, that this book is following in the veins of some of the others and that it's got QR codes in it
nice.
That yes. point you to other media sources so that you can get more of a fleshed-out story. I use that term a lot, yes. it, fleshed out.
It does have the QR codes.
Really screwed up on.
Yeah, the QR codes are great, and I think it's going to be a game-changer with media because or print media because people are able to access so much more than just the words on the page. It's a great sure. concept. I'm glad to see other people starting to adopt it. It's being used in a lot of, well, not a lot of books yet. I know it's being used in a couple forthcoming books for some pretty big media personalities, but I'm glad to see it put out there, you know, in our field where a QR code. And I know the Owl Moon Lab, I think, from Toby Johnson has the same situation where he's got QR codes in the book that link you to different sound files and whatnot. It's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So, Henry, you said aside from just the book, The Bigfoot Influencers, what else did you want to talk about?
Well, there's a new documentary which is on Tubi TV. It's called A Flash of Beauty, Bigfoot Revealed. And actually, several of the individuals included in The Bigfoot Influencers are in this one, or in this documentary.
So what makes this documentary better than the rest? What makes it different?
Well, it's really not much different from any of the others, other than it just has all these different personalities, you know, talking gotcha. About Sasquatch. Mm-hmm. There is some focus on the Native American aspects of it too. So
sure. What about it stands out for you? What made it? What made it a must-see for Henry May?
Just the people that they were that were involved. I mean, people like Jeff Meldrum and Ron Moorhead and nice. Amy Boo. And, we've had her on the show.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. What was the name of it again? The Flash of Beauty?
A Flash of Beauty, Bigfoot Revealed.
On Tubi. Nice. I'll have to check that out.
Tubi, and it's free. And it's free. Free. And it's free, so anybody it's can watch free. It.
Tubi's amazing. It's there's some really classic movies free. On there.
There's some great Bigfoot horror movies on there, too. That we need
classic
to watch
cartoons, too.
Yeah, well, you know what? That's something I will be watching this coming weekend, is The Flash of Beauty. So thanks, Henry. I appreciate you giving us that heads up. That's great.
We look forward to your review on it, Vance. And of course, folks, as little as $2 a month, you could support Sasquatch Experience here. You get ad-free shows, which a lot of our folks seem to enjoy. Ad-free shows, and as you get up higher in the list, you get a bunch of other exclusives. We have a few folks that join us in a super secret chat that got show notes tonight and just get to engage with us on a whole new level. So we appreciate the support. For $2 a month, you too can be a supporter. Because you know what they say, if you can't be an athlete, be an athletic supporter.
You can be an athlete supporter. Yes.
Jackstrap.
And of course, find us on social media. Sasquatch Experience on Facebook, Instagram, Squatch EXP on Twitter. But folks, you didn't come here to just listen to us babble on tonight. You came here for something special.
Mm-hmm.
So Vance, this was your baby. You crafted this.
I thought about this for a long period of time because the Sasquatch Experience opens its show with a 911 call, but yet we've never discussed it. And there's been a small handful of other Sasquatch shows that have also used the same 911 call, but it is overwhelming with curiosity and confusion on the 911 call. However, there's some substantiality to it because it came out of Washington State. And yes, I would like to get everybody's opinion, including our listeners, specifically our listeners too, as to the authenticity. And is this a hoax or is this the actual thing? Because I know for a fact that Sean and myself have dug a pretty deep hole looking into more information about the 911 call that leads into our show. And yeah, there's some information, but not a whole lot. But we need to keep one thing in mind. This transpired, I believe, 2006, correct, Sean?
Early 2000s.
That's 16 years ago. 911 was not as perfected as it is today from 2006. So, and we have drag racing going on, and that's okay. Or there's a Sasquatch outside of somebody's house that is kind of pissed off at us. But, 911 was not as perfected as it is today. A lot more digital capabilities have come into play. So sure. When we're going back 16 years, this is kind of a raw 911 call, and I just kind of want everybody's take on it because we've never discussed what you hear at the beginning of the Sasquatch Experience and its authenticity of the whole thing.
Do you want me to roll that beautiful bean footage?
I think so. I do think so.
All right. Here we go, folks. The Bigfoot 911 call.
911, what are you reading?
With someone or something around out here.
Do you see what person or an animal or?
I can't tell. All I know is my central light came on and I just happened to glimpse and see this thing running across the yard. A good sized man or something that looks like a man. I don't know what it was. Just it ran across the yard.
Okay. You've had problems in the neighborhood
before? Yeah, my dog was killed here just recently. I don't know what it, whatever it is. It's running. Couldn't catch it if I was going to chase it. So whatever it was, it came up. I'm out here coming through the window now and I don't see anything. I don't want to go outside. Jesus Christ, you better see him.
Hello?
Get somebody out there.
What's going on now, sir?
That son of a bitch is about 6'9", I don't know.
You see him now, sir?
Yes, I'm looking right at him.
Uh-oh. Okay, hang on.
He's right.
Is he in your yard, sir?
Yeah, God, he's big.
Okay, what's he in your yard?
He's looking at me.
The guy is on foot.
I don't know what is he a big, real big person? That's all I can say.
Okay, it is a person.
It was a person, it was somebody real big. But he's all on back.
Is he a black male or a white male? Do you actually see what it or what is he wearing black?
He's all black and big. He is big.
Yeah, that's something else, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
I the one thing that always got me about this, and I guess I'll jump in, Vance, is the genuine reaction the gentleman has in his voice when he's going through this. Mm-hmm. Like you could close your eyes and put yourself in his position and experience. Mm-hmm. Well, I can visualize this like in my mind, see it. And then other things. A dog was killed here last week. You know, that makes it a little suspect, but at the same time, just adding to why this guy's concerned that there's something walking through his yard. But what's interesting to me, and I'll let the other guys talk on this here, is the lack of background on this. Because I've spent three days trying to pull up more material, and all I found was another article on WashingtonBigfoot.com from another investigator saying he was going to reach out to the authorities and dig into this. And nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't seem like any of our contemporaries have you know, reached out or gotten any more background on this story as to who was the person that made the call, the neighborhood it came right. from, right. you know, all those things. And of course, we just had a little video package there put together so you folks could watch something besides our beautiful faces as we listen to this 911 call. But mm-hmm. to me, it doesn't get much more serious than what that gentleman was experiencing.
No,
which is why we've always put it in the intro.
Yeah.
Sets the tone. Right.
And to me, it sounds extremely genuine. And if there was such a case like that, I can't see anything being taken out of context, but you brought something up really interesting, is the fact that his dog was killed a week prior to that, and then his central light came on. Well, the central light would come on because of a motion detector. Mm-hmm. Again, we're going back 16 years ago. This is relatively new technology that was introduced, but his central light came on. And then when he says, I don't know, it's staring at me. There's a lot of creepiness that goes on there. And it's I have images in my head. I'm sure it's different than everybody else's image in their heads as to what they're seeing in the theater of the mind, so to speak. But yeah, it definitely paints. I would definitely, if I were to put my money down on authenticity, I would say that was a very authentic 911 call.
No doubt in my mind. I agree. James, Henry, what do you guys think?
Well, I tell you what, we as you mentioned, we don't know much about this. We don't know much about who made the call. All we know is it's from 2006. It's from Washington State. That's all we know about it, really. We don't know who this person is. He never mentions Bigfoot or Sasquatch. He says a real big person.
Yeah, large size, what man, what I think is a man, I think is what he says. Maybe
6 foot nine.
Yeah.
Right, 6 foot nine.
6 foot nine, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But still a big person.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, hell yeah. Right. How about it?
Yeah. Well, and again, Henry, like you said, what always gets me, and James, I'll get to you. I'm sorry. Is that there's so much about this that isn't known. Since 2006, it's surprising to me that this person's either not come forward anymore, or we as investigators haven't gotten into it and found any more information about it. Because as we're going to listen to in the second part of this show, there's more 911 calls that have a lot more story behind it and are interesting, but not nearly as interesting as what we just listened to.
Right.
In my opinion.
Right.
Go ahead.
One of mine too. Right.
Well, I think the big thing is that the operator tries to get him to use descriptive terms. It says, you know, is it black? Is it white? Da, da, da. And he doesn't say it's a large black man or a large white man or blah, 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 or he's wearing a coat. You know what I mean? So in a way, that kind of gives you an idea that he has no clue what that is. You know what I mean? That not, you know, and she's trying to get as much description as possible because, you know, that's the job, you know. And he's kind of like, it's a thing, it's out there, it's huge, it's looking at me. But like, as she asks for descriptive terms, he's not given anything that says it's a man. You know, he's just like, you know.
But I want to throw another point in there. He never used the term Bigfoot or Sasquatch.
No.
Which leads me to believe the fact that maybe he was never even in the realm to begin with of such a creature to exist. And this is quite the possibility why he may have refused to be interviewed, because he was witnessing something that he had no concept of to begin with. Other than there's a very large man and it's staring at me. And so I kind of paint that picture as maybe he just wants the whole thing to go away and refused to be interviewed, didn't want to be contacted by anybody, you know, to glom onto him and say, oh, you had a Bigfoot sighting and so on. And maybe never wanted to get caught up in the whirlpool of that whole research aspect of people coming around him and surround him with wanting to know more information when he wanted no part of it to begin with, you know. Sure. And that's pretty, I don't know. I just see that's very plausible for somebody that just had no concept of such a thing, even though this is Washington State. Was the hotspot in the United States, but Washington State. But a lot of people go there, and you know, they'll see the tree cutouts with the chainsaws of Sasquatch and so on, and the paintings on the walls and so on of Sasquatch. But some people just kind of look at it, and it's white noise to them. Sure. They may not even accept that as a reality and a possibility. So when something weird like that does happen, they may not tie the two together to say, maybe that's what this was. And from that phone call, awesome. You know, desperation, and it seems that he was very desperate for somebody to come out there that was armed to at least deal with the situation he was dealing with.
Well, I would be.
Mm-hmm.
I would want somebody to come out with it. Guys, we got to take our news break, and we'll come back with more on this and then some more Bigfoot 911. Folks, stay tuned. Stranger Than Fiction news coming up right now.
This is the Sasquatch Experience, Stranger Than Fiction news and stories. And a happy Monday night to you, or whatever day of the week you happen to be listening. I hope it's the best day that you're having so far. Getting right into it, a legendary mythical creature generally called Bigfoot has been reported twice now in South Carolina this year, according to the BFRO. And I'm sure you all know who the BFRO is, Bigfoot Field Research Organization. You've seen them on TV, nothing new there. But South Carolina, North Carolina, very popular place, and a lot of sighting reports come out of there. Of course, as we like to say in St. Charles here, the Carolinas. The urban legend was also called Sasquatch and was seen recently as August 7th of this year, according to the organization website claim. Most mainstream scientists dismiss the existence of the creature. Well, yeah, no shnikey. The report does state that this was a Class A sighting and was during the day in Hunting Island State Park on the Lighthouse Exit Road. The organization classifies an incident as Class A sighting if it is seen in circumstances where misinterpretation or misidentification of other animals can be ruled out with greater confidence, according to the organization's website. When we come back, we'll get into the witness's detailed account.
You're listening to the Sasquatch Experience.
Live with 7 roommates, you go through a lot of toilet paper. And even though we get ones from recycled paper, I noticed how much plastic packaging we were using and also wanted to find a tray-free option. So my roommates and I decided to try our first bamboo toilet paper from the brand Cloud Paper. I was impressed to first open the box and find this information about the impact of choosing bamboo over tree paper. Bamboo can be a very sustainable crop because it's one of the fastest growing plants in the world and can absorb lots of carbon while it's growing. I was so blown away by how durable and strong the toilet paper is. And making the switch is one individual action we can take to fight deforestation.
Just visit cloudpaper.co and enter promo code BTS15. Again, that's cloudpaper.co. So the South Carolina Bigfoot witness report that was taken by the BFRO actually goes as follows. The report was filed in August, and there were three witnesses to the incident. The creature was walking upright, taking strides quickly to our left, and disappeared into the brush on the left side of the road, directly in front of us. We only witnessed the lower torso of the creature, as its head and shoulders were hidden behind the pine trees and palmetto stump on the left side of the road. Now, the witnesses made their report to the Hunting Island State Park office. An earlier report on a Bigfoot this year was made back on July 5th in York County. The report states that the Class B sighting was made during the day by a professional forester who identified woodknocks. In the report, the forester stated he was walking along the tree line toward the west along the south edge of a power line cut and noticed an area where a large animal had bedded down and had a very intense smell. Maybe Michael Moore took a nap there. The report continues as he also reported hearing loud knocking sounds that came from both sides of the cut. It didn't sound mechanical, but like wood on wood, each time I'd hear one, I would then hear another one as if it was a response. The two Bigfoot reports are also among dozens made from South Carolina since 1997, according to the organization's website. Lee County has the most at 8 reports. Thanks again for listening to this edition of the Sasquatch Experience Stranger Than Fiction News. And now let's get back to the four gentlemen that have faces for radio.
Kiss my ass, fans. Faces
for radio. Dumber. Dumber. Looks like Dumber.
Oh, my. Folks, welcome back to Sasquatch Experience. Sean Forker, James Baker, Vance Nesbitt, Henry May. Continuing our conversation on Bigfoot 911. We played the call before break, before the news break, had some dialogue. Any final thoughts on Bigfoot 911 call, guys, from Kitsap, Washington?
Well, so outside of the fact that I found it very authentic, but I would like everybody else's, including our listeners and watchers, stuckers, and squatters' opinions on what they think of the... Maybe somebody out there has more information than we, because I've had my shovel out digging as deep as I could to get more information. I know, Sean, you had too, to get as much information as possible. So,
well, you know, as I posted there, Vance, Angie in the chat said that she thought Moorhead uncovered the call and the man refused to be interviewed. Henry, can you speak on that at all? Did Ron Moorhead, was he the one that brought that call to light?
I'm not really sure. I do know that Ron Moorhead included it on his volume 2 of the Sierra Sound. Gotcha.
Henry May's not sure. Now I'm freaked out.
Now, do I know whether he brought it out or not? No, I have no idea.
Gotcha. Well, to say this would be the only Bigfoot 911 call we've had over the... years would be you know, just a lie, because there have been others, and we do have some other 911 calls. In fact, Vance, the one from North Carolina, I think we're going to talk about here, Bedford County, North Carolina.
I believe that's the BB Chewbacca.
Well, let's take a look at this gem. Let's watch this. Yeah,
okay. We'll go that
Cleveland
one.
County 911.
I don't know if I should have called this in or not, but
what's going on?
If I'd have a camera, I'd take a picture of it.
Took a picture of who?
I don't know what it was. He's walking upright like a man. I would not kill it because I was afraid to. But he went back up the mountain.
Cleveland County 911.
Hello.
Can I help you?
Yes. This is Tim Fiedler.
Uh-huh.
You probably have my address.
Yes, sir. What's going on now?
I shined the light on this thing, but I would not shoot it.
Okay, what did it look like?
It looked like a giant ape with a man's face. But I was afraid to kill it. And it made a whistling sound. He was about 9-10 foot tall with real long arms. I go out there, he gets gone. Now come back in the house and gets back there again, and my dogs are just raising heck. Would I get in any trouble if I shot and killed this beast, this animal, or whatever it is? Would I get in any trouble?
I can't answer that question.
If he goes too close to me, I'm going to kill him.
Well, right. There you go. Right. So what do you make of that? That was it looks like a couple calls to 911 this gentleman made.
Yeah. And again, there may be a lot of inebriation involved in that, but even inebriated, if you see something crazy like that, it has nothing to do with the accent. It had to do a lot with the slur and the slow communication, but even inebriated, there's been a number of people that have been under the influence that have seen something crazy, and I don't know that alcohol or drugs really were the effect of what it is that they were witnessing at the time.
You know, just for the sake of argument, even if you were drinking and saw something out of the ordinary, and something that you couldn't explain, does that make it any less impactful?
No,
some people are a lot more honest when they drink.
Make a 911 call. You picked up the phone to call 911.
Yeah, but you know, to my point, Vance,
pretty profound.
Some folks are a lot more honest when they're drinking than they are when they're not. You know, a little more uninhibited. Yeah, so I don't know. Right. Like I think because we feel that somebody's under the influence of some substance, they can't rationalize what they're seeing, which, you know, let's be honest, depending on the substance, that could be the case, but it doesn't necessarily mean we have to write it off. We get really comfortable, you know, but let's be honest. I enjoy a nice drink. And if I saw something out of the ordinary, I think just because I had a drink doesn't mean I didn't see what I saw.
Right. And the fact that you picked up a phone to call 911, when you know, okay, first off, I'm inebriated.
Yeah.
And I'm going to call the police to attract attention to myself. That's not really the first thing that you do. So that always kind of tilts the scales to me to say they probably saw something really unusual, a bipedal creature, and kind of wants a little bit of maybe acceptability from the at least law enforcement. Can I shoot the thing? Because this is not anything normal.
That wasn't, by the way, from Bedford County. I got my articles wrong there. I should have notated my notes better. But interesting, you know, nonetheless. But as you know, we go through some of these 911 calls or even the OnStar call we're going to go through in a little bit. You do. I guess if I was a 911 dispatcher and somebody's calling me, I'm expecting something of an emergency situation. I don't know how I would respond. Like, is there a protocol if somebody calls and, you know, do you go through prank protocol at first, or, you know, how do you take that? I guess, you know, that's a question for some of our 911 dispatch friends. I have a couple friends.
Well, I think it's entirely to the dispatch in order to decipher what they may contribute to the fact of, okay, this is a bunch of BS, or, well, maybe there's something going on here that we don't know about, and we need to at least jump to it and find out a little bit more information. And we know in the past from 911 calls, the police have been called out. There have been footprints seen, and the police officers at the area confirmed that there were footprints that were seen, but cannot conclude where those footprints came from. But at least that much of the information was at least documented anyway.
Sure. I guess if we have anybody that listens to the program that works emergency services, if you work 911 dispatch, let us know how you'd handle it. I'd love to get that email, info@SasquatchExperience.com. I'd like to hear, you know, your take on that. You know, and Alex also makes a good point in the chat. People have called 911 just because McDonald's wouldn't give them their food.
Karen, yeah. Right?
you know, absolutely. Oh, no. Like, I'm sure 911 gets its first share of abuse, but in a situation like this,
or because of cold French fries, they cold, call well, because Henry, of cold French fries.
Sometimes or, I feel Henry, right. you would be the one. Yeah. Henry, I feel like you'd be the one to call over cold French fries.
Wow. My chicken nuggets are cold.
Wow.
Sometimes I feel like Henry. I said I want my damn fries hot. Give me my damn
hate
fries.
Crime. Hate crime.
All right. Well, we have another one here. This one was interesting, guys. This call that Vance sent me, because I had never heard it. When we go into the, you know, validity of these things. This one, I told Vance right away, well, I don't know. We'll talk into what I think. Keep your skepticals on as we go in and listen to this lovely piece of
OnStar.
OnStar footage, yeah. 911 emergency, you know.
OnStar emergency. This is Kyle speaking. How can I help you? Hello?
Something just ran in front of us on the road. We're in the ditch. We rolled over.
How many people are in the car, and is anyone injured?
There's two of us. I don't think we have any injuries.
Is the car on its top or wheels or what?
No, it's kind of sitting on its side.
Hold one moment, please, while I contact emergency services.
Okay.
Okay, the state police should be on their way in a few minutes. Is everyone still okay?
Yeah, I think we're okay.
What ran in front of you? A deer?
I don't know what the hell it was, but it was big. It looked like a great big dog. Standing up.
Was it a bear, maybe?
Maybe, oh my God! Oh my God!
Sir? Hello? Are you still there, sir?
And of course, nobody heard what I just said because I muted us all. I don't know. It sounds like the script of a, you know, B movie, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, come on. I thought you guys would be a little bit more entertained by it than this. I was. And Vance sent this to me. I was entertained by it. Vance is talking.
Right.
There he goes.
No,
all right,
no,
Vance,
that's okay.
Ahead.
You know, about the fourth time I've listened to this, then nothing made sense to me.
Sure.
The first time I heard it, my jaw dropped open going, what the F just happened? However, if you notice at the beginning of the recording, you hear the phone ringing to OnStar, which means the recording was being made from the car.
Yeah.
Right. Because if you were calling, you would hear the phone ringing and then the OnStar operator answers the phone. But after the growl and attack, you hear a disconnect, but you still hear the dispatch from OnStar talking, which means it was therefore recorded from the OnStar side. So I don't know if it was edited or if this was completely scripted. I'm kind of leaning more towards Sean's side that it was scripted. However, I do have to say, if this was acted out, it was damn well good. I can't come to a conclusion of that.
It was good acting on the caller side. I think the dispatcher was reading from a script and was rather dry myself. Mm-hmm.
Right.
If I was just critiquing this, they could use a little bit of acting lessons, but it was, I don't know. It was interesting when you sent it to me. I got a good chuckle out of it. I was like, well, you know, someone tried. Definitely.
Right.
But, you know, once again, I don't know. It was big. You know, there's that little chestnut in there that you could almost carbon copy, even in cadence, how they said that from the 911 call into the OnStar call.
Right.
Also, I've accidentally hit my OnStar button. I don't remember it ringing.
No,
I remember just a voice.
Again, let's go back to this was in the early 2000s again. when OnStar was just introduced to the market. So it may be a different format now as it was back then. But again, yeah, I don't know. It's just the fact that you hear the phone ring,
sure,
which means it seems to be recorded from the vehicle. But yet, after you hear the growl and the disconnect, you still hear the OnStar dispatching, sir, are you there? Which means now it's being recorded from the OnStar side.
Sure.
So it could be very well scripted just for the, and this, you know, theoretically, I'm using air quotes here, came to Troy, Michigan. Okay, so well, there's your dog, man. Hope
nonetheless, right, good for entertainment purposes, if anything. But then you also, there was also one from my backyard in Pennsylvania, which I don't have the phone recording, but I remember Eric Altman and the team investigating this. I'm just going to pull the article up here. I had the article. Where did it go? Because that always happens to me, too. Anyhow, John Weinsickle calls in and says he has evidence of Bigfoot. Somebody shot one, or the officer shot an unidentified animal on his property. It was the message that was sent to the PA Bigfoot Society. Eric and the team investigated it, could find nothing to corroborate anything of what this guy was saying. And I wish I had that 911 call. I don't. Let me actually... Now, that's not going to work. I don't want to waste the time or the airspace. I'll read the article. Weinsickle, a resident in rural Pennsylvania, said he talked in his language. You know, it was so deep, when he makes his sound, it puts a bear to shame. As rumors circulated that a Sasquatch had been shot and killed, the only proof of a sighting were pictures showing a huge footprint near Weinsickle's home. Conspiracy theorists gathered and started accusing the authorities of a cover-up after reports that the military choppers were seen in the area removing the body. A message sent to PA Bigfoot Society read, "Officers confirmed there was an unidentified animal shot and killed. Details are a bit fuzzy. Officer Schwartz inspected the footprints found by John Weinsickle and concluded they belonged to a bear." Schwartz wrote, "I advised John this. He was not happy with the answer. He said he could definitely tell the difference between a bear footprint and a big footprint." So 911 did dispatch, you know, officer to the scene. Officer looks at the footprints, clearly determines that they're a bear. I believe that was the consensus of the PA Bigfoot Society investigators that hit the scene. I just wish I would have got the sound file. I tried to find that for us, Vance, and if you remember, I couldn't get it at the time. Right. If we find it, I'll add it in post. But I just don't know. You know, this stuff, you know, you start getting into the silliness and the downside of reporting these things. It takes up valuable resource for legitimate emergencies, but also the boy who cried wolf syndrome. At some point, mm-hmm. someone's going to really need emergency services to bag a Bigfoot body, and ain't nobody going to believe them.
Right.
Perhaps.
And again, it goes back to the whole hoaxing culture in this, group in which we call Sasquatcher. You know, back in the early 1980s, there was an individual in the Chicagoland area that put cyanide in Tylenol bottles throughout the area in Chicago and killed so many people, which changed the entire culture on how bottles of anything has to be sealed and then have the shrink wrap or plastic wrap around the caps. And it's kind of the same thing here. You know, when you have a couple of people that just throw these amazing hoaxes out there and then it turns out to be a hoax, you kind of got to want to protect yourself from it and to decipher what is actual BS and what might be reality. Unfortunately, it only takes a few to ruin it for the entire subject matter altogether instead of just getting the facts as to an actual encounter.
Sure. Right, but
it's a negative turn.
But wasn't the cyanide and the aspirin, didn't they do that to cover they murdered somebody and they didn't want anybody to figure out they did it? There was one nurse or something that did that, like in the local store, so she could kill her husband. And that's how she got caught.
Yeah, that I was going to turn it into that particular case, but the individual that did that in the Chicagoland area still has not been prosecuted. They have not identified the individual. There was one individual that made a complaint against Johnson & Johnson that they were committing murder against a half a dozen people. And then all of a sudden, you know, these Tylenol killings happened. Yep. But they could never had enough evidence to pin the murders against this individual. So whoever did it is still walking free. My point is, it just takes one to create this type of BS in the Sasquatch community, where we're all sitting here with the four of us, and of course in the entire community, there's probably more than 1,000 of us. They're going, well, I think that's BS because this person over here did one thing that was absolute BS. You know, or I've got a Bigfoot in my freezer.
Yep, Georgia boys.
You know, and that turned everything kind of upside down.
Sure. Well, listen, guys, the reality is we're almost out of time already, and we still have three more stories to talk about. So we're going to have to do a part two. We're going to do a part two. Heaven forbid we have to do a part two on something. And I'll try to get these calls loaded so we have the audio to kind of go with the discussion.
Yeah, because we all want to talk about the baby Chewbacca.
Yeah, that one's going to be interesting. Listen to those calls. Folks, what an interesting show tonight. Anyhow, hope you learned a little bit of something from it. We didn't learn anything because, well, we couldn't even find the information we needed to continue on. Like, it's a mystery. That Bigfoot 911 call that, you know, comes from 06 comes with a lot of baggage that we can't get into yet. Really like to get in and dive deep into that. So, yeah, there'll be a part two. Part two, we'll talk about the one that happened in San Antonio, which turned out to be a lot more interesting than maybe a Bigfoot sighting in itself because of the players involved. We had a lot going on into this part two. So when we come back, not next week, but the week after, the 10th, I think it's October 10th, we come back, we'll be talking about Bigfoot 911 part two. Any final thoughts, gentlemen, tonight to rest upon?
Well, my final thought is, again, I just will reiterate what I mentioned earlier. For all our friends in Florida and Georgia, please make your safety number one priority. And we hope that you'll be able to join us on October 10th.
Yeah, fair enough. Be safe. Be safe. Vance, Henry, or Baker, Henry, anything else?
Henry,
just you know, it's very interesting stuff, very interesting topic that we had here tonight, and you never know what kind of things you'll hear on 911.
That's for sure. Very true.
They used to have that show on what was on all the time for 911. That was Rescue. Really interesting.
911.
Right.
For me, it used to play before Unsolved Mysteries.
Yeah, right. I believe I read a comment a little earlier. Somebody called 911 because they had a praying mantis in their house. So
yeah, never. You know, yeah, Bob DeChico.
It happens.
Posted that for us. All right, folks, you've been listening to Sasquatch Experience. I'm Sean Forker, Vance Nesbitt, James Baker, Henry May. Henry, give us those parting words.
Y'all be good or be good at it.
We'll see you next time, folks.
You've been listening to Sasquatch Experience. Please rate and review wherever this podcast is consumed. To share your experience, visit us on Facebook or email us, squatchexperience@gmail.com. Keep on squatching.